Hey guys, it's Cass.
And it's Jess.
And we are the Long Distance Fangirls.
Today we're going to be discussing Little Black Dress, Through the Dark, and Something Great on the Midnight Memories album.
We hope you enjoy!
Alright Cass, I know that COVID is still a thing, but what is new in your life?
Wow, not much. It's literally same old, and it's same old to the extent of I have tonsillitis again.
Oh my god.
I know, I'm not very happy about it, but in better news with that, I went back to the doctor yesterday, and he told me I can have the surgery, so.
Yay!
Yes, I'm very happy about that. So, yeah, and it's probably gonna happen in, like, 2 weeks. Actually, he said he can do it as soon as 2 weeks, but I think I'm gonna wait till my spring break and do it then. But, you guys will obviously know, because we probably won't have a podcast that week. But yeah, so I'm very excited to get them out, because And I was talking to my mom today, too, and she got hers out in college, and she said she just felt so much better. Like, she felt, like, for some reason she was feeling super exhausted all the time and all that, and she didn't notice how bad she was feeling until she got them out. And she's like, I feel so much better, so I'm hoping that I feel that way, because, I don't know, especially this week, I'm just like, I'm so exhausted, my sleep schedule is all out of whack, and it's just... I took a nap last night at 9 p.m., woke up at midnight, and then couldn't sleep again until 2.
Girl, that sounds absolutely terrible. And I know that your sleep schedule is messed up because you text me at most random times. Like, obviously, our time difference is so, like, it's already 6 hours apart. So when you're messaging me at what would be like 5 a.m. your time, I'm always like, dude, what?
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing, is I wake up early now, like, because of work. I'm usually up at 6, if not earlier, every day, and then the fact that I either fall asleep super early, like, 8 or 9 p.m., and then don't sleep well throughout the night, like, wake up and fall back asleep and wake up a bunch, or I fall asleep at, like, midnight or 1 and sleep through the night, so it's not good either way.
No, that sounds absolutely awful. I'm so sorry. I cherish sleep. I think a lot of people do, especially at a time like this where, like, everybody's mental health is just, like, not really existing. So, I'm really sorry.
That's okay. But, you know, I'm excited to get this surgery. And, I mean, otherwise I had a decent week, you know. It's always the day before I have class that I have, like, a bad day because I'm trying to do my assignment and I'm falling apart at the seams. But other than that, it was overall a pretty good week.
I mean, the sheer fact that you went to the doctor and he gave you, like, an actual explanation. Well, I guess not an explanation, but gave you, like, something to look forward to. Like, that in and of itself is, like, a good week.
I know. I was, like, today, because I think Wednesday and yesterday I was feeling a little down, and then today I'm just like, I'm peppy, I'm happy, I'm like, I'm back to that beginning of the week feeling. I don't know, I'm peppy. But that's anyways, good. How was your week?
My week was interesting, I guess. I don't know, not really. It was kind of just interesting.
Same old,
I guess,
same old?
Yeah, like the sense that... just everything's the same, and I'm enjoying watching Netflix and reading and doing all the things that lockdown kind of brings with it. I actually just watched the Hannah Montana movie the other day to, like, truly bring out my 11-year-old best self.
I have not seen that in so long.
Girl, I hadn't either. I honestly... it was probably at some point in college. Like, I feel like my roommates and I might have watched it, or I watched it with somebody in college. I don't remember fully. But it's been a while. And when the Hoedown Throwdown came on, the movie, I literally paused it. I told Jack to get in the room, and I was like, because he's never seen the movie and he barely watched the show like growing up. And so I was like, okay, you have to sit down. This is the most iconic moment for my childhood, I think.
Did it hold up over time? Because I know a lot of times the Disney Channel, especially like DCOMs, the original movies, some of them still great. Other ones kind of lose it over time. Where does Hannah Montana fall?
Okay, I like struggle with this because it varies so much to the original series, and it also like in terms of how much it would actually like be a possibility in real life, it kind of bothers me how like the ending works where the whole town is just like, oh, we won't spill your secret. So like that didn't hold up for me very well, but the actual movie quality is much better than the actual series is, just because, I mean, it's not a DCOM. It was released in theaters. It's kind of mm-hmm. like High School Musical 3, and you can definitely see the, like, major motion picture quality in this film, and there's, like, some really high star, like, cameos in it, like, Rascal Flatts makes an appearance, Tyra Banks, Taylor Swift, so you have, like, these big names in there supporting these actors and actresses that have already, like, become household names through the show. So, I don't know. It was good, but also, like, not great. But it was also emotional. Like, I got a little, like, I hate to say it, God. I got teary twice.
Oh, my God. Jess being teary? Ugh. That never happens.
No. I get teary a lot. I don't cry a lot. There is a difference in a movie theater. Crying for me, I think I've only cried in 3 movies in my entire life.
One of them being Breaking Dawn Part 2.
Do we have to talk about it? I will never.
And it's just like, I'll never live down when we went and saw Charlie St. Cloud.
Oh, girl, I will never let you forget that. Never. I was so uncomfortable. I did not know what to do.
For context, we went and saw Charlie St. Cloud, Jess and I, just like for fun. And I cried the entirety of the movie, with the exception of one scene. The rest of the movie, I cried the entire 2 hours. And then I cried the entire ride home. And then I cried another, like, 2 hours at Jess's house.
She stayed the night and, like, literally didn't stop crying until we went to sleep.
4 hours of crying over a movie that I rewatched, like, a year or so ago, and I didn't cry once.
It's not a very good movie.
No, it's not.
It's a pretty crappy movie, if I'm totally honest.
So, I don't know what mental health issue I was having back then, but wow.
It was something else. And, like, for even more context, we were probably in 8th grade, and so our friendship wasn't new, but we were still, like, learning about each other.
We were in high school. Early high school.
We were not in high school.
Really?
I almost can guarantee you we were not in high school.
Oh, no.
I could be wrong. Maybe I'll go back and look at the release date for Charlie St. Cloud after this episode, just to, like, I don't know.
I'm looking right now. It came out in 2010, so you're right. So, yeah, we were in 8th grade.
Yeah, it would have been 8th grade. Oh, my God. So, like, again, our friendship wasn't new. It's not like I didn't know you were an emotional wreck, but... I didn't know how bad it could get, I don't think, yet. That was, like, the first
That was explosion. The first exposure to Jess to how much of an emotional wreck I am. And we're going to get into that more today, because I have some thoughts about some of these songs and the emotional wreckiness that I am. But not with Little Black Dress. So let's kick it off with Little Black Dress.
My very first note is, my God, this song is short. It just, like, faded out, and I was like, where did it go? It's over?
Well, that's what I said layout-wise. There's, like, nothing to it. It's 2 verses and a chorus and then a guitar solo. Because it's verse, chorus, verse, guitar solo, chorus, done.
Literally, I was like, that's it.
What? And there's no solos.
It's, yeah, you're right with that. I don't know. It's a weird song. I actually was intrigued that it was written by Liam and Louis, because I was like, this does not remind me of a song written by the boys at all.
See, to me, lyrically, it seemed like maybe, I don't know. I feel like I could see it because it's kind of one of those sexy songs, and I feel like Liam and Louis write the sexy songs. But then also I was like, there is literally no thought put into the song at all. Which, I mean, maybe it was just like, I don't know, kind of a blow-off song to them. But I'm like, there is no substance at all. I never had realized how little substance there was to this song.
I actually thought that this song was quite problematic in its lyrics, especially starting at verse two. Like, all right, verse one is pretty much just like you see a girl across the room and you're attracted to her, you want to take her home, whatever. But the first or the second verse starts with "little black dress, who you doing it for?" And then it says, "little black dress, I won't do you no harm. It's all right. I'll take you home." Like, that's cringy. That's really cringy.
Yes. Song, very problematic.
And then the chorus is, "I want to see the way you move for me." Dude, what makes you think I'm, like, dancing for you? Calm down. I just, honestly, this just sounds like, it sounds really bad. It sounds like the creepy guy in the club who won't leave the girl alone.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely kind of a rapey song.
Yeah, it is.
PC to say, but it's a kind of a rapey song, and I agree. I meant sexy and just, like, I don't find it a sexy song, but that's what they were going for, but you're right, it 100% is kind of problematic, kind of, I don't know. And I've been seeing a lot of TikToks lately, especially after everybody came to the realization with Best Song Ever of the "daddy was a dentist said I had a dirty mouth" line, and so people are kind of talking about more sexy One Direction songs. And I feel like "Little Black Dress" always comes up as, like, the number one problematic, weird, sexy song.
Here's the thing. Like, I remember liking it in high school. And, again, I think just the idea of digging into the lyrics, like, is the problem here. Like, just hearing it, like, it can easily just be a flirtatious song. Like, it doesn't have to be problematic, but you can read it as a problematic tone, too.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, when you're just singing along, you're just like, "little black dress, and like kind of just like singing. And it's just, it's a very rock song, so you're kind of into it. But then, yeah, when you get to why, I mean, because basically, if we're going to like translate, it's like, who are you dressed like this for? I can't take it anymore. I'm not going to do anything to hurt you. Come home with me. Like, very predatory.
Very. That all said, on the negative side, though, this is probably, I don't know if it's my absolute favorite, but it's pretty freaking close to my favorite opening of a song by One Direction ever.
It's very rock heavy. I mean, super loud guitar. Like,
it's so in your face.
Yeah, it is.
I remember, actually, I think I put this as my alarm for a while, too. Like, I know we've talked about alarms in the past, but I think this was one of mine for a hot minute, but then I ended up switching it back because it just wasn't as powerful as the other one.
Yeah, and that's, like, it kind of with what you're saying with the writing, it kind of does kind of go back to Up All Night and how lazy the song is. But
yeah, I agree with that.
Since it's rock heavy, it fits Midnight Memories, but it's such a lazy song otherwise.
Well, I also have a note on here that the repetition of the words "take you home" is like almost a throwback to the previous album in a way too. It's like, I don't know, this song is meant to remind us of like their past almost. I don't know, it's weird.
Doesn't it only say "take you home" once?
I'm pretty sure it says it multiple times.
Either way, I don't know. It was kind of this song is odd for me because I liked it back then, like you, like I enjoyed it. It's never been a super favorite of mine, but now I'm just like, Midnight Memories so far has been a very good album. And this one, I'm like, it fits in with its rock, I don't know, genre-ness of it, I guess if that's a word. But otherwise, I'm like, this is lacking.
I completely agree. The music is very Midnight Memories, but the lyrics just don't stand up to the rest of the songs on the album.
No, and it's weird that it's written by Liam and Louis because there are no solos. It's not like it was made for the band.
Honestly, it makes me wonder how much of this was actually written by Liam and Louis.
Yeah, because there are three other writers on this song, so
And it just kind of brings you back to the idea, like, how much, whenever their names are present, how much of the actual, like, lyrics was written by them versus the melody, or, like, versus maybe just one line. I mean, realistically, all you would have to do is come up with one line and you could get writing.
I've always wondered in how they write who, like, it says written by and then they list the names. I've always wondered if, like, the top listed name is the person who wrote the most and then it goes from there, or how they choose the order.
That actually would make sense.
But in that case, that means Liam wrote the most.
But it makes me wonder then, when Louis and Liam's name appear so frequently on these songs, I don't remember what order they're written in. Is it always Liam and then Louis?
I don't know. And honestly, maybe this song has a similar backstory to Better Than Words, which is also on this album. And now that Liam's talked about how they wrote that song, it wouldn't surprise me if this one was also just kind of like a we were high and we were coming up with lyrics type of song. Because it's lazy, it's very repetitive. I don't know.
I might get, like, completely shunned for making this comparison, but it reminds me, God, I feel so weird even saying this, the Beatles, right? They have some amazing songs that have, like, some really deep lyrics and all that, but they also have some hits that people love that are just kind of, like, weird and short and just, like, spurts. Yeah. Like, I'm thinking of Yellow Submarine, right? That's the first one that just, like, popped in my head. I feel like this reminds me of that. So I could totally see it just being like a late night writing session.
Drug-induced where, song.
Yeah, that they're just like, yeah, like, what are we thinking about? Oh, that hot girl in that black dress we saw the other night? Yeah, let's write about that.
Yeah. It seems like one of those.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I truly didn't have much to say on this song because it is a very short song. And I was just kind of, I was surprised at how, I wasn't surprised at how well it's, how much it's not aged, because I knew this song hadn't aged well, but I'd never realized how repetitive and how short it was.
Yeah, I don't think I had either, to be quite honest with you. But I also don't think I ever really listened to it that much in high school. Like, it was never one of my go-tos, for sure.
Yeah, no. I think this was one of those, like, if it came up, I probably wouldn't skip it, but I didn't search for it either.
I agree. It was lower on my list. But I also, like, again, it has never been on that list of, like, songs that I don't like either. So, like you said, I would always listen to it whenever it came up. It was just never one that I was going to actively, like, want to play, if that makes sense.
Yep. Exactly. But I'm ready to rate this song, if you are.
Yeah, me too. I actually gave it a 3.5.
Ooh, interesting. I gave it a 3, so I'm interested to know why you gave it that half point boost.
For me, I honestly think it was the opening and just the rock edge to it. I love when One Direction uses that rock sound, like, to the fullest extent. And I don't know. I just felt like for that reason alone, it got that half point boost for me.
Okay. I felt that, but I saw it in a way as that's what made it average. Like, if you took out the rock sound, this would be the worst song probably they ever made.
Yeah, that's fair.
But we're all entitled to our own ratings, so.
Well, I also think, like, realistically, one of the reasons it got the rating it did is because in the ranking of how I would, like, choose to listen to these songs, it had to appear above other songs.
Okay, yeah, no, for sure, I get that.
Yeah, but that's just my thoughts.
Well, now we're moving on to the one that we have hyped, drumroll. It's time for Through the Dark.
Oh my gosh.
Do we start with a story?
I don't know. I can't take this song seriously.
We have to explain why. Okay. When did this came out in 2013? When?
Yeah.
I would say 2014 to probably almost 2015. This was probably our senior year of high school when we made this discovery, I would say. Yes?
Yeah, it definitely wasn't right away, so I would agree with that. Because
I had thought about this for so long. The intro to Through the Dark, I was like, this sounds like something. I don't know what it is yet, but it sounds like something. And that had sat on the tip of my tongue for like a full year. And then finally, I was at your house, wasn't I, when I made this discovery?
I don't know if you were at my house or if
I had figured it out and then I showed it to you.
Yeah, I don't know where, like, location-wise we were, but I remember that as soon as you figured it out, you were like, Jess.
I was, at your house, pulling up a laptop, like, we're figuring this out. Okay, so, the intro to Through the Dark has a very similar sound to the Cash Cow game from Webkinz. And they are so scarily similar that when I realized, I think I might have been just like, I sat up in the middle of the night and I was like, holy shit, that's what it is. It is Webkinz. And then I showed you and like we pulled it up and I think it took a minute for you to like, you were like, yeah, it kind of does. Kind of. And then, but see, it sticks now. Now I cannot listen to this song without thinking about Webkinz.
I think we must have been at my house because I am almost 100% certain that we got on Webkinz.
We did. And we did. And
like, played Cash Cow.
Yes, we played them back to back and listened.
Because I remember, like, not doubting, but also being like,
you did doubt. You doubted. You doubted.
Okay, well, there you go.
Or at least you weren't as enthusiastic as I was, so I felt that you were very doubting me.
You had been thinking about it for a while, though, whereas I, like, was just bombarded with, like, this information, and I was supposed to be enthusiastic about it, and I was like, I don't know, man, like, that seems a little out of left field, but no, it is identical to the Cash Cow opening.
So, you all need to now log on to Webkinz, play Cash Cow, and then play the song, and you will see that it is so similar. But anyways, getting into the actual meat of the song.
Webkinz is still alive and well, by the way. I have gotten on during this lockdown.
So. Oh, yeah. Me too. Embarrassingly. But not really.
You know what? The games on there are quality, so whatever.
I love smoothie moves. Okay, that's it.
Polar plunge.
Oh yeah, you are a polar plunge queen.
Yes, I am. Okay, actually, we can go back to the song now. Sorry.
Okay. So, side note: Liam and Louis also wrote this song. And listening to Little Black Dress and then listening to this song, the complete 180. I was like, this is a full song. I mean, it's got pre-chorus, verse, bridge. A pre-chorus before each chorus, excuse me, bridge. It's got a breakdown. I was like, oh my god, we're getting the full moment here.
This is a fully developed song. It's amazing. Yes. And I love it dearly. And honestly, I think that I listen to this song a lot, actually. It's probably one of the songs that I listen to the most by One Direction, which is hilarious. But I've never really taken it seriously because of the discovery we made until this podcast, and I listened to the lyrics, like, really intensely, and the lyrics are so good.
Oh my god, when I actually pulled up the lyrics today, and I was like, and this, for me, being the emotional breakdown person that I am, I was like, oh my god, they're saying everything I ever want to hear from somebody. Like, this is all I want to hear. Like, if you want to cry or fall apart, I'll be there to hold you. I will carry you over. I hope you're strong enough. We'll find a way through the dark. I'm like, oh my god, if somebody ever said this to me, I think I would marry them on the spot. Like, this, I don't know. I just was like, this is such a mature, good song for them.
It is. And one thing that I really like about it, I actually literally just, like, 20 minutes before we started recording this, posted something on Instagram that said this. So it's very fresh in my brain right now. And as I was listening to this, it reminded me, like, that phrase that everybody always says, that you have to love yourself or you have to feel good and confident in yourself before you can find love. I think that's like the biggest bunch of BS I've ever heard. I hate that. I hate that so much. I don't believe in it at all. And this song is like exactly why. Because having somebody to be there with you as you're discovering yourself and as you're like coming into yourself and loving yourself, that is power. That is empowerment. And that's beautiful. And I just, these lyrics do just that. And I just love it so much.
Yes, I can see that, because you can fully love yourself on your own, but having another person there to build you up, and because nobody's going to be happy all the time. Nobody is 100% every day, so just to have somebody who's there who knows what to do when you're having those bad days, and this is off topic, but I've been seeing this, like, new trend on Twitter saying, like, blank girlfriend that does this, blank boyfriend that does this. And I saw this one, I was like, I relate too much. It was, like, sad girlfriend who cries over 6 different things, but then boyfriend who knows how to support each one of those differently. And I was like, that is just all I need in life.
We stan a supportive spouse or partner or whatever. It's the best.
And another good thing about this song, in going back to it being a fully made song, is that everyone has significant features in this song. I didn't think there was one person that was like, didn't get as much as the other.
No, I agree with that. And I appreciated it a lot. And I actually have a comment on something specifically with it. I loved that Niall had the pre-chorus, because I don't think he's ever had the pre-chorus solo before, which is such a like heightened part of any song. Mm-hmm. And then something else I really liked was that Liam got the breakdown, because I think his voice is made for something like that. It's so smooth, and he can do those low notes like really well and like still support them. And I was like, man, this, like, they got the order right here. And I'm not saying that obviously they don't follow that order pretty much ever again, I don't think. But I think that's one reason why this song works so well, is because they put the right people in the right places.
Yes, and Liam on the breakdown, I have to, like, fully agree with that, because Liam has the strong tone, the strong voice that can carry that, because they're usually, not only are they lower, but they're softer, and it's just him, but his voice was strong enough to carry that, and I was like, Yes.
Oh my god, I love it so much. I love this song.
Me too.
I like don't really have anything else.
I don't either.
Okay, great. I'm glad that we're in the same boat.
Yeah, so I rated this song actually a 4.5.
Oh my god.
I've always really liked this song, generally, pre-Webkinz discovery, post-Webkinz discovery. I loved it because then I could laugh with it, and now I love it even more now that I've analyzed the lyrics. And I was like, I don't know if I can quite put it at a 5, because I don't know if it's fully perfect, but it's so close. It's 4.5.
Honestly, as you said that, I am currently on the dock about to move the place.
Yeah, yours was so low. I was shocked. I was like hurt that you put it that low.
I am going to move it up, because it does deserve to be higher on my list. And I think I talk about this a lot. One of the ways that I rate a song is in comparison to other ones, and I was struggling to put this one above another song, but I realize, like, it deserves to be higher, just because it does everything right. So, with that said, I actually gave it a 4, which is shockingly lower than yours, because consistently on this album, you have been
lower.
But I still, like, it could have been a 4.5. It's really good, guys. It's a really good song.
I love it. Love it so much. So, moving on. Something Great.
Something Great. Oh my gosh. What a forgettable song.
Okay, I had something along those lines of, yes, it is super forgettable, but it's kind of a hidden gem.
What?
I feel. I thought it was a little, I think it's a little underrated.
Okay, well, I had some issues with the lyrics of this, so I'm intrigued.
Please do tell. No, I want to hear your issues first, so I can decide if they're issues to me.
To me, it sounds like it's about a boyfriend who freaking messed up and is just, like, begging the girl to forgive him. And, like, just imagine, like, we'll be perfect. Like, is it too much to ask for something great? Like, no, you messed up.
Oh, I absolutely never saw it as they were messing up and asking for forgiveness.
I guess, what was the lyric that, like, really made me feel? Oh, it was Niall's lyric, actually. And I think, if I'm totally honest with you, I thought it was the most powerful lyric of the song, too, because it was probably the most poetic. But it's also, like, okay, it says, the script was written and I could not change a thing. I want to rip it all to shreds and start again. And then Harry says, one day I'll come into your world and get it right. I'll say, we're better off together here tonight. So, I don't know. That, like, verse, it's verse two, specifically just made me think, like, oh, okay, so they've done this. Like, this isn't, like,
I guess
not watching from afar.
That's the super interesting thing about how songs can be interpreted, because I never interpreted it as, like, they cheated or messed up something big like that. I saw it more as, like, the timing wasn't right for a relationship. Like, kind of, and I know this is gonna go off a little bit. People, this is like the Larry song for Larry people I know, because people see it as Harry wrote this song, and they see it as Harry's, like, the script was written and I couldn't change a thing, and him and Louis can't be in a relationship. And then Louis has the really kind of sad, haunting outro, and people are like, oh my god, Larry. But anyways, so I kind of saw it more as not like that, where they're in these contracts and it's that, you know, formal, but I saw it as a way of, like, life wasn't aligned for these two people at the moment.
That is a much more romantic view of the song than I had, so I can see why you enjoyed it more than I did.
Yeah, and that's, I think, part of it, too, and thank you, TikTok. Shout out TikTok. They get a shout out every episode, but I see these TikToks, so have you seen the ones, the, like, trend where it's, like, it's always, what are you doing, never, and it's, like, acronymed. Like, it's always WYD and not...
Yes, yes, yes.
And I see people do it with this song all the time, and I'm like, oh my god, I feel it, because it's always, what are you doing, and it's never, I want you here with me, like, how I pictured it, so I don't have to keep imagining. And I just, I feel that in my bones. I'm like, oh my god. This is just, like, I don't want to keep making up these made-up scenarios in my head. I want you to just be here. And I'm like, ugh, I feel it.
To play devil's advocate, because I want to have fun with this and have a conversation, I know that you and I don't actually think we've talked about it on the podcast necessarily, but I know you and I have discussed recently that Harry is not a good boyfriend. Like, he is not good at relationships. And the fact that he wrote this and... again, the mix of interpretation, like, could be, like, he messed up,
and that could
be regretting it.
But
this could be either. You just, like,
yes.
That's the power of lyrics and poetry in general. Like, you never really know the meaning of a song. I was just reading something in my book of the month for my blog that we're talking about music and how it can be interpreted so differently, and the same way, like, words can be interpreted so differently in, like, literature and all that, and, like, why studying that is so important. And I was just, like, fascinated by it. But same with this. Like, it may just be a One Direction song, but here we are having a discussion about, like, the deeper meaning behind it, and I love it.
Yeah, no, and that's the great thing about music. I mean, some songs just hit other people a lot harder. They have different meanings. Some, you know, are just fun songs. And this one is one of those. I know... for some One Direction fans, this is, like, the best one, the hidden gem, their favorite, super underrated. And I can see that, because this, if you interpret it the way that I did, this is a super romantic song. But then can also be spun the way that Jess saw it, as kind of, like, not revenge, but, like, a asking for forgiveness and like a anti-feminist song, I guess.
Yeah, it's probably more likely the romantic version, if I'm totally honest, but I don't know, when I was listening to it like 10 minutes before we started recording, I was like, ugh, this is cringe. So there you go, my first reaction, folks.
I don't know, I didn't give it much time of day back then, and I honestly, going on, am I gonna give it a bunch more? Probably not, because I'm not relating to it currently in my life. But it's nice to know maybe I'll go back to that and come back to this song and enjoy it more now that I've looked at the lyrics. But
this is super, like, not relating to the lyrics at all, but I'm on Genius right now just because I was, like, reading, and I looked at the written by, and the other names with Harry's name just made me laugh, like, reading them.
Wasn't the other guy in Snow Patrol?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe, but the names are Gary Lightbody and Jackknife Lee.
Yeah, Gary Lightbody is in Snow Patrol, which are the people that sing the Chasing Cars song. So that's even more, like, picturing it as, like, a deep love song.
For sure. Also makes you wonder how much of this is Harry and how much is that of this is him, because if you have another musician come in, I always feel like they probably take precedence in the writing room.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how it all works out. But this was, to me, like a... I know, not necessarily for Jess, but to me, this was like a nice find. A nice one to come back to for the podcast.
My God, I just went on our notes and saw where you rated it versus where I rated it. My word.
Yeah, you plummeted this song.
I did. I plummeted. It is down. God, both of Harry's songs I have just, like, completely dumped on. Sorry, you have. Harry. Yeah. I love his album. So, multiple
albums. But yeah, I'm ready to rate this song, if you are.
Yeah, me too.
Go ahead, oh, sorry.
No, despite the fact that I thought it was kind of annoying, I still actually really like the harmonies in it, because this is one of the few songs I feel like on this album that really utilizes all of the boys multiple times throughout, especially in that final chorus where Zayn does that, like, mm-hmm. upper harmony. Yes. Oh, I melt.
Yeah, that's really so good. So
because of that, it got a 3.5.
Okay. I gave it a 4. Just, I don't know, maybe that's too high. Maybe it should have been a 3.5. But I...
Girl, do you and stick strong.
I don't know. I'm not sure about how where I placed it. I'm going back and forth between two, and we can talk about that when we get to it. But I don't know. This was a nice find for me, I thought. This was a really good song that doesn't get enough credit.
Okay, that's fair. Do we want to go ahead and rank now then? You can go first and do your explanation.
Yes, so number 12, I have Little Black Dress. We have a new bottom. Number 11, I have Happily. 10, You and I. 9, Midnight Memories. 8, Right Now. 7, Don't Forget Where You Belong. 6, Something Great. 5, Strong. 4, Diana. 3, Through the Dark. 2, Best Song Ever. And 1, Story of My Life. And I keep going back and forth between Something Great and Don't Forget Where You Belong. I can't decide which one's on top. Currently, Something Great is on top, but maybe next week, Don't Forget Where You Belong will be back on top.
Well, I know last week we were talking about how our songs so far have been pretty well aligned.
That is not anymore.
No longer the case.
I knew it was coming soon. I knew it had to come.
Same, to be quite honest, but a little disappointed nonetheless. My ranking is at the bottom, Happily Remains. 11, Something Great. 10, Little Black Dress. 9, You and I. 8, Right Now. 7, Midnight Memories. 6, Through the Dark. 5, Strong. 4, Diana. 3, Don't Forget Where You Belong. 2, Best Song Ever. And number 1, Story of My Life.
We've stayed consistent with our top two, at least.
Oh, yeah. I don't think either of those are wavering because I don't believe that I will have another 5 on this album.
No. I don't think so either.
I actually don't remember what... Oh, I don't know.
We have Little White Lies and Better Than Words still.
So I was going to say, Better Than Words is coming up next week, so...
Oh, that's going to be so good, because... I don't want to jump into it too much, but man, I used to love Little White Lies.
Cass, aren't you, like, worried that Half a Heart is going to come and, like, steal the top slot?
Oh, man. I don't know if we've exposed yet that that's my, like, number one disliked One Direction song.
I'm pretty sure we've hinted at it at least, like, 5 times.
I don't like Half a Heart.
Sorry. We'll get to it. We'll get to it, because you have to hear, like, all of the story behind it. It's great.
But, I don't know. Did you have any updates on the guys this week? I didn't have anything.
They literally have done nothing. Like,
which is fine.
It is fine. Like, do you? I actually have no idea where any of them are in, like, the physical world right now. Like, I don't know if they're in England, if they're in LA, if they're somewhere else. I have no idea.
They're living life.
They are. They're doing their thing.
I guess with that, thank you guys so much for listening today. We hope you enjoyed, and if you have any thoughts that you want to share with us, be sure and follow us on our social media, and you can tag us, follow us at LDFangirlsPod, and let us know what you think. If you agree, tell us what your Something Great interpretation was. Are you more on Jess's side or mine?
Oh my god, I'm going to put a poll on the Insta story, like, as soon as this episode comes out. So look for that, y'all, look for that. But seriously, if you guys enjoyed today's episode, we would love you to leave a review. And also, if you had an issue with today's episode, also leave a review so we know how to improve. We are always looking to provide you guys with the best podcast possible. So let us know what we can do to do better next time. But thank you guys so much for listening.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.